1.
Friday. Sports.
Good evening, welcome to Friday Sport. Well, we should have been at Fir Hill, but due to the call-off, we're here at the studios of our sister station, Radio TT in Dundee. I'm Dave McDermott, with me are Andrew Shiney and Dave Galloway. And before we're off air at 7, we'll be hearing from Derek McInnes. But first, let's look back at Monday evening's defeat by Cali. And Dave, sadly, one man was at the centre of attention for all the wrong reasons.
Yes, Willie Collum. I am going to choose my words very carefully in the same way that Derek did after the game. Some of his decisions just absolutely defied belief. I mean, Ross Draper, it was as clear as you like. He had dived and, you know, for that to be a penalty at a crucial stage in the game, I mean, that really turned things in Cali's favour. And then there were a couple of penalty claims that were very reasonable that we never got. So,
Andrew, I mean, the question we were asking on air the game was, why was Willie Collum put in charge of that game in the first place? He'd been in the middle when Aberdeen played Inverness at Pittodrie. Three penalty kicks that he got all three wrong, one for each side that he gave that wasn't, and a late handball that wasn't given. I mean, that's surely putting ridiculous pressure on the man before the game's even played.
Well, you do have to question the SFA's wisdom in appointing Willie Collum to that game, but then you could question their wisdom in appointing him to any game, given his recent track records. Rangers against Falkirk, he gave a penalty to Falkirk when the offence occurred outside the box, and he gave a mystery penalty to Rangers at the end of that game that left everyone in the stadium mystified. And unfortunately, that's what happens with Willie Collum. He gives decisions that no one can understand, and it's almost though he guesses, or he just thinks, well, I've given them one, I'll have to give them the other side one. And it just doesn't lend itself to giving Scottish football a good name, particularly when these games are being televised and shown throughout the country, and they're seeing these, you know, really, really poor decisions being made by this guy who is supposedly our top whistler. If he's the top referee in Scotland, we're in a sad, sad situation.
I mean, the whole tone was set, I think, with the score at 0-0, Shinney's shot, which was goal-bound, a good save, two-handed save by Fon Williams, over the onto the bar and over, and a goal kick was awarded.
Yeah,
four of them. They're mic'd up. How could you miss that?
I mean, it was a brilliant save, like you say. He clearly got a touch. Everybody in the stadium could see that he got a touch. And I mean, I'd like to see Willie Collum just watch the Ross Draper incident a few times and then say it to us, you know, was that still the right award? And if he's got an ounce of honesty in him, he'll say, no, I made a blunder there.
Can't see that happening.
No, it won't happen. That's the problem, because, I mean, the SFA will not put the referees up to speak about anything. They themselves, you know, the Scottish Football Association, very, very rarely, if ever, come out and say, yeah, we've looked at the situation, the referee's made a wrong call. And it's all compounded by the fact that the compliance officer has seen nothing wrong there whatsoever. Well, everybody in the ground, having seen it on television from different angles, could tell that Ross Draper threw himself to the ground. There wasn't a touch on him. So, you know, it's just a messy situation that is unnecessary, and it does nothing for the standing of the Scottish game in the football world.
And disappointment this afternoon for the fans with the call-off, a waterlogged pitch down at Fir Hill. So instead of doing this show live from the ground, we're halfway back to Aberdeen at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, the most important thing is the fans. You know, it's not so important that we're inconvenienced. It's all the supporters that have been travelling down from Aberdeen, but from much further afield. You know, we've got a lot of supporters up in the Highlands, for instance. And I mean, we would have taken, I'm sure,
1,500.
Well, I was going to say well over 1,000. You know, 1,500 Aberdeen fans coming from all corners of Scotland would be very disappointed. And a lot of the fans would have started their journey by the time the game was called off. You know, can there not be a better way of doing this?
Okay, well, let's hear from the manager, Dave. You've been speaking to him.
Yeah, and Derek's been having his say about Cali's Ross Draper not being pulled up for the penalty that never was on Monday night.
It's not for me to be disappointed. I'm, you know, there was anger and frustration at the time, you know, but, you know, I'm surprised that on what you asked me there, you know, I'm surprised that it hasn't been. But for us, it's done and dusted, and we can't really get involved too much with that. There's no real merit for us to get involved in that, you know. And I think that while there is anger from everybody connected with the club, you just hope that, as I say, that things get dealt with properly, and we'll move on to the next game. We just try and go and talk about football next game, and hopefully we can do that by 3 points.
More to come on Mr. Colum later, but I also asked the manager about Johnny Hayes' hamstring problem.
Yeah, as anticipated, Johnny's got a tear in his hamstring. And the scan shows he'll be out probably 3 weeks is probably accurate. I mean, I don't think we'll get him back before then. So 3 to 4 weeks. You know, it's sort of somebody else's opportunity. You know, it's always been the way when you lose important players. We've lost important players at different stages of the season, and we have to cope with that. There's no point in getting too down about it. You know, we know the importance of Johnny, but you know, I think it's important that somebody else's opportunity, maybe one or two who haven't had a run of games, might get a chance to do that now in his absence.
Let's return to Mr. Colum now, Dave. Let's go interactive with Aberdeen Mad for our topic. McInnes fury at Colum penalty decisions, and that must have been fun editing some of the responses out.
I had to do a lot of censoring here, otherwise we as a station could have been in serious trouble. And it was like, you know, which one do you include, which one do you leave out? There was a terrific response, I have to say. First up is Bob Reid, AFC. Inverness clearly had been told to foul us as soon as we tried to build an attack. That's okay as long as the referee starts booking players for appropriate fouls or for repetitive fouling. But we were kicked off the park and Colum helped them do it. He then took every opportunity within some cases his officials to deny us any prospect of building a comeback. Stonewall decisions were ignored. Red Yeti adds, McInnes, quote, he's conned him. It's a dive. There's simply no contact there. Draper, quote, I thought it was a penalty. That's me being honest. If he thinks it's a dive or I've bought it, then say so. Not sure how much clearer DM could have been. Meadowbank Red tells us, only thing the players and manager can do is go and stuff Partick and give two fingers to Colum and the authorities. Well, hopefully we'll have the chance to do that in the near future. This one is from Red Madders. He is a cheat. Cheat in block capitals. He doesn't even try and hide it. We as a club have to take this further, but it would fall on deaf ears as the SFA, that's one bit that I've cleaned up considerably, would take him in for a chat and say, well done, you've got them sorted. Corrupt officialdom, we are a laughing stock of British football, all because Colum is, can't read that, and doesn't hide his allegiance. Hairdryers turn now. Colum's display was inept again, as it was in the 2-2 draw at Christmas. McInnes said then that it wasn't a penalty and that the ref got it wrong, and said the same again on Monday night after another wrong decision to award a penalty. What else can he do? The SFA needs to stop appointing referees with any bias. What would we be left with? I'll go through a couple more. Red John chips in. No great manager will accept bad performance from officials and players. Derek McInnes will never be a great manager, as much as Willie Colum will never be a great referee. Not quite sure where Red John is coming from there. And finally, this from Pacman 1903. He says, I'll try and keep this clean for once. The reporting was pitiful in the national rags and on the net, so this goes a long way to getting Colum off the hook again. The guy seems untouchable for some bizarre reason,
But if the media isn't reporting the full scale of his incompetence and cheating, I'm going to go with the latter, then he will appear at Pittodrie, Dens, McDermott or wherever and carry on ruining football matches as if nothing ever happened.
Yeah, well, I think just to take up the point about Derek never becoming a great manager, Andrew, I think Derek, we all know the sad fact is that if Derek went too strong, and he would be the one that would be punished and not be at the dugout for X amount of games accordingly. And it's more important that he's there. I mean, it was a terrible performance, wasn't it?
It was. And, you know, I think Derek did extremely well to bite his tongue, as did Graham Shinney when I spoke to him for Red TV after the game. You know, when you hear from people that Willie Collum cannot be spoken to during a game because he's arrogant, he's cocky, he thinks that he's untouchable, as somebody mentioned there. And the SFA seem to back that theory up. I don't think he's corrupt, and I don't think he's probably biased. I just think he's inept. I think he makes wrong calls so often that I find it staggering that he is given the level of games in Europe and that he gets, and that he's going to the European Championships. I mean, you threw in a semi-flippant remark on Monday night that this is a guy who could cause a war. And I'm saying it's semi-flippant because he could. I mean, you're terrified as to what he's going to come up with at the European Championships if he goes there in the summer. It was interesting that there was a petition was raised to get him stopped from refereeing at all, and I think it got 2,000 signatories within the blink of an eyelid sort of thing. But that will fall on deaf ears, and you know, I believe this weekend he's is he at Raith Rovers?
Raith Rovers in the Championship.
So, you know, some of the refereeing fraternity will say, well, that's his punishment for making a little error.
That was probably decided, though, before Monday's
game. I think it
would,
I'm sure it would have been, because it's Tuesday that they come out with the list of appointments. And, you know, he will suffer financially because he doesn't get as much money doing a Championship game as he does doing a Premiership game. But, you know, he's just made so many errors, so many glaring errors. You just need, you know, if you ever wanted a showreel of bad refereeing, Willie Collum would be in it 99% of the time. You just need to think back to that game at Hamilton, you know, where he and his officials missed clear goals, offsides that weren't offsides, clear penalties.
Wrestling
in the box. And, you know, and unfortunately, he seems to attract the spotlight to himself. Now, whether he laps that up or not, I don't know the guy. I've never spoken to him. But he does attract controversy like a magnet.
Certainly does. Well, staying with matters Pittodrie, the Dons this week launched a survey to gauge fans' reactions to potentially moving the family section from the Merkland stand to the RDS, amongst other initiatives. Here's Gordon Duncan from Dons Supporters Together.
I think the main points are it's excellent that the club are going out to the fans on an open consultation, asking their opinion on the stadium layout. They deserve massive credit for that. I mean, Dons Supporters Together, a couple of our board guys had a meeting with the club on Tuesday to discuss it before the survey came out on Wednesday. And I think the absolute key is as many fans, season ticket holders, non-season ticket holders, fans who don't even go to games regularly, give their opinions so that the club can see exactly how people feel about it and to make sure that everyone's opinion is taken on board, and then the club come to what will be a justifiable decision based on the level of responses that they get.
It's important to note, isn't it, that nothing's actually been decided yet. It's just an opening idea by the club, and there will be a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, won't there?
No, that's exactly right. I mean, that's why I'm saying that as many responses as they can get so they can make an informed decision. And you're right, nothing's been decided. No one's saying, you know, you sit in the Richard Donnell Lower, you need to go to the Merkland. It's a survey. We'll see how the survey comes out. The club will then make a decision based on that. And as you say, nothing is prejudged or pre-decided. It's just an idea, which I think is a welcome idea, because we can see the atmosphere at Pittodrie at times can be rocking, and at other times it can be pretty poor. And this idea of creating a bit of a section there at the side of the Merkland, which can gather round to the south and to the other way on the Merkland, I can only see it as a positive in terms of the atmosphere it can be created.
Well, certainly the RDS concourse, Andrew, you would, for entertainment, it does seem to be the ideal place. I mean, you're not going to please everybody with suggest some people just don't like change, but I think as Gordon said, you can only applaud the club for at least getting the fans involved. There's nothing's been decided, and let's gauge their opinion.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the family section going into the RDS lower, particularly over towards the tunnel area, is ideal. I don't think you'll really want kids to be too close to the away fans. But, you know, we're in the unfortunate position that we've got an old stadium and we're trying to fit everything as best we can. When the new stadium is built, then you're operating with a blank canvas. You can slot everybody into exactly the places where you want them to be. But, yeah, you're right. The club has to be applauded for going to their stakeholders, the fans, and asking for their opinions.
Yep. Dave, your thoughts?
Yeah, certainly from an atmosphere point of view, I think the acoustics will be a lot better in the Parrot because of the layout of the stadium. You know, it was a good idea to try out the singing section in the Richard Donald Upper, but just because it's above the elevation of the rest of the stadium, all the noise just kind of gets lost. It'll be projected straight down onto the pitch from the paddock, and hopefully that will spark off a better atmosphere. And, you know, I totally agree with what Andrew said about the concourse at the Richard Donald stand. It is ideal for family entertainment. You're not going to please everybody, but I'm sure we can all, if we all work together, club and fans, we can work out a solution that will please most people.
Yep, let's hope so. We'll take a short break, back with the rest of the weekend's top flight games, and we'll also hear from Peterhead boss Jim McAnally after these.
Friday Sport. This is North Sound 1.
Welcome back to Friday Sport. Weather permitting, tomorrow Celtic against Inverness. Andrew.
I'd like to think that Inverness would show the same fight as they did on Monday night, but I have a feeling that Celtic will win it.
Dundee United Hearts.
Dundee United Hearts. Hearts to win convincingly 3-0.
Kilmarnock Dundee.
Interesting one. Kelly need a win, so I think they'll maybe get a draw.
Rusk. Indeed, good logic. Ross nice County one. Are at home to Hamilton, Dave.
Ross County, Hamilton. Ross County to win 2-0, I think.
And finally, St Johnstone, Motherwell. St Johnstone going through a poor patch just now.
They are going through a poor patch. Motherwell had a good win in midweek. I think St Johnstone are still going to be too good for Motherwell, though.
Okay, in League One tomorrow, Peterhead are away to Cowdenbeath. Here's Blue Toon boss Jim McAnally.
Really tough again, Cowdenbeath. We've drawn there already this season. The boy Gordon Smith's left recently, but I thought Gordon Smith and the boy Greg Spence that plays up front were amongst the top strikers in this league, and they were a real handful. So obviously Greg Spence is still there. They've added the boy Caldwell that was at Air United and St Mirren and Hibs, and he's a decent player. So we know that we're going to be up against it on Saturday because, again, I think we've got three players suspended and we're pretty short in depth, but, you know, we're no short in quality. So we'll go there and we'll regroup again and we'll see where it takes us. But Cowdenbeath, they'll need to work hard to beat us, that's for sure.
Highland League tomorrow, Andrew. Again, the weather, we must stress, the weather will play its part.
Yeah, there was only one game last week, Lossiemouth beating Devon Vale. But tomorrow, the scheduled fixtures, Clark against Huntley, Devon Vale v Rothes, Fort William travelling to Fermartin, Forest Mechanics entertaining Brora Rangers, Fraserburgh against Strathbay Thistle, it's Inverurie Locos against Keith, Lossiemouth against Cove, Nairn County against Turriff United, Wick Academy against Bucky Thistle.
Juniors, likewise, there might be a few cancellations. The main focus is in the GAA Inter-Regional Cup third round. Bridgendon Thistle Downfield, Maud go to Cooper Angus, New Elgin at Forfar West End, it's Hall Russell, Lochie United, Devon side down at Genefield Swifts. Now if that game is postponed, then they will try and play a Super League game at Unicorn Park, Hermes against Devon side, so that's provisional at the moment. Lochie Harp take on Bankery St Tiernan, and Stonehaven are at home to Broughty Athletic. In the McBookie.com Super League, LA United against Banksy, the league leaders, and FC Stonywood, the bottom side, are up at Inverness City. In the First Division East, Fraserburgh United against Parkvale, Glentanner, Aberdeen Uni, Lewis United versus Newmarket United, East End go to Longside. Sunnybank are at home to Cruden Bay. In the McBookie.com First Division West, one tie, Spey Valley against Burghead Thistle. Domino's Pizza, North Regional Cup, third round, two games there, Buckenhaven Hearts against Dice, and Cooter, they're now home to Dufftown in that one. Archibald Cup Group 1, Nairn St Ninian against Isle of Ale, two games in Group 2 of the Archibald Cup. Falkenburghs are at Forest Thistle, and it's Grantown against Bucky Rovers. That's just about your lot for us. We'll be back next week at 6:30. Of course, the Dons take on St Johnstone for the second home game of 2016 from all of us. Have a great weekend on Friday Sport.